This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown and Ken Coleman.
Alongside Chris Brown, I am Ken Coleman. We are thrilled to have you with us. Chris, our feature interview is a conversation that you had with the good doctor. Of course, I'm referring to Dr. Henry Cloud. And the guy, he can't help but just be wise. It doesn't matter what you're talking to him about. He puts a nugget in there.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that even in his pauses between words, there's wisdom oozing out of his ears. So, yeah, it was an incredible interview.
Oh, that's our feature conversation. You don't want to miss that. And Chris and I were talking about this before we got in studio, and we want to tell you this. This is a podcast conversation that might step on your toes, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But if you're a little uncomfortable, then that means Dr. Cloud has gotten through to you. So just be aware of that. That is coming to you. Also, this podcast is growing, Chris, and there's a couple ways that we would like our audience to help us grow it. How do we want them to do that?
Yeah, so again, this is the Leadership Momentum Podcast. If you're listening in for the first time, I want to especially welcome you. But man, you can subscribe right there on iTunes and write a review for us. And of course, you can check out all the past episodes at stewardshipcentral.org. Past episodes like Craig Rochelle, Robert Morris, Todd Mullins, Patrick Lencioni, Perry Noble, of course, Dave Ramsey, and Dave Stone. So check it out, but also subscribe and write a review.
It's always fun to get back in the studio with you because what people don't understand is you've got so much going on and you're all over the place. A daily radio show. How many months in are you, as we sit here and record today, how many months into this are you?
I think we're 5 or 6 months in.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yep, it's been a lot of fun.
And then you're traveling all over the place. Give us a snapshot of what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, you know, this month is a crazy month for us. I just got back from New York with Fox and Friends, our friends there. And right in the middle right now of Financial Coach Master Series. We're training financial coaches right here in Nashville. And I head out to Atlanta in a couple days to go to Catalyst. And then Indiana are going to Momentum there, where we're training churches how to take their whole entire church through Financial Peace University at the same time. Then I'm heading to Phoenix. You and I are going together to the SMART Conference in Phoenix on October 17th. And Denver, SMART Conference Denver is the next weekend. And of course, I'm somewhere in there, I'm speaking to Valvoline headquarters about
Valvoline.
Where'd that come from, right?
I love that they're bringing in Pastor Chris Brown. What is the, we got to know. What are you talking about at Valvoline?
Well, we are doing a 3.5 hour talk on the total money makeover.
That's great.
And I'm not sure where scripture is going to lie in that, but I'm hoping that scripture can kind of bleed out on accident and I'll get a slap on the hand afterwards.
I love it. I'm thinking about all these oil analogies. We've got a senior pastor audience. You're the pastor and you're going to a big oil company. Motor oil, but still oil.
Yes. The slip into debt can be slick.
Oh, I like that. Very good stuff. It only takes a minute for a pastor to come up with something like that. All right. Well, folks, we're so excited about Dr. Henry Cloud to bring him to you in this conversation. And Chris, you had this conversation at a beautiful resort out at the Omni La Costa. This was a part of our summit event, and we've brought some of that to you. And this is so good. So, Chris, take us into Henry Cloud.
Yep. Folks, this is going to make you squirm a little bit. And that's probably the biggest warning I can give you. Enjoy. I'm here with Dr. Henry Cloud and out in San Diego and enjoying the Entree Leadership Summit and really appreciated your talk. And I want to just expand on it a little bit. I personally have been to several conferences and I have the opportunity to minister to a lot of pastors. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me that so many great pastors and so many great leaders are out there. And they're actually, when you talk to them, they're saying a lot of the same things. Mm-hmm. They're talking church language, they're talking leadership language, but some of them are yielding different results. Some are getting results, some of them aren't. Why is it, do you think, that some are experiencing results and some aren't?
Well, I think there's a few reasons, but one of them, and what I shared today was, you know, when you think about it, all leaders are basically doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that sounds stupid, but here's what I mean by that. Whether you are mom or dad trying to get the kids in the van by 8 o'clock to go to church, you got to lead that group to a what? A vision. It's a desired result. And, or you could be leading a church or a global enterprise. Every leader has to start with that vision or the desired future in their head. Number two, they got to engage the talent. So whether it's the kids or, you know, all of your troops, you got to engage the talent and pull that off. Number three, is you got to execute some sort of a strategy, and then you got to hold people accountable, and then you got to fix what you find. So there's this path. Now, if everybody's trying to do that, why do some get results and others don't? Well, one of the big reasons we know from research and experience is that leaders that get results are leading people in ways that the people can actually follow them. And even deeper than that, and I can tell you this from the neuroscience perspective, when we study leaders, the ones that get results are leading people in ways that the people's brains can actually follow them. And what a lot of leaders are doing inadvertently is they're doing stuff that actually keeps people from being able to do everything they're supposed to do and to bring their gifts and talents and all that to fruition. So a lot of it is neuroscience.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those things that are prohibiting that communication, or somehow they're not picking up what they're laying down?
Well, one of the things is that the brain can only really attend to a couple of things at once, okay, right? This whole thing of multitasking, it's actually, from neuroscience, it's a joke. I mean, you cannot multitask.
Now, I know what I can't.
We think we can because, see, people say, well, I'm doing emails and I'm writing a paper and this, that, and the other. No, you're not. Mm. You're switching.
Mm.
See, the term comes from a computer because we open a bunch of stuff and it's running in the background and we think it's doing all this at once. It's not. What it's doing is got a microprocessor that switches so fast that you see, but we can't do that. And so when you're writing your sermon, mm-hmm, right, and your email goes ding and you unplug,
yeah,
and then you go over here, we know from research, you think that took 2 minutes. What it took was about 20, because what happened is when they really get in the brain science of this, you had to unplug from here, pull all of those networks up, shut them down, go over here, engage a whole bunch of stuff that pulls everything related to this email and the problem, this, that, and the other, and begin to work on it. Then you got to unplug, then you go back. And what happens is what you were working on is something called deep thought. And deep thought is the stuff that your brain is doing to write that sermon or to work on that problem or whatever it is that hasn't appeared to you as an idea or a thought yet, but it's working in the background. Well, you've lost all that.
Mm.
And there's no starting over. I mean, you start over. You've lost whatever was churning. So when you take that to an organization or a team, what leaders, the big mistake they make is they'll have this, you know, this is our quarter or this year's main couple of things that we're going to focus on. This year it's going to be, you know, outreach, or this year it's going to be expenses, or this year it's going to be the building campaign, or this year it's going to be discipleship, or whatever it is, okay? And everybody's supposed to be living and breathing that, and they have that, and everybody's on board. Well, then the next day after that retreat, they're bombing everybody with emails about 1,000 other things with the same intensity.
Wow.
And people are feeling like, you know, look, if everything's important, nothing's important. And what a leader does for the brains is they keep people on the mark of what's important so the brain can attend to what's important and inhibit and shut out everything else. It's huge.
That is huge. I mean, I've seen this in the church world. There's lots of pastors and leaders who are, they feel like they need to start a ministry for everything. They're so overexpanded, or maybe they start in 5 campuses at once, but they can't manage one campus.
That's right.
And just get involved in way too much ministry. And sometimes it's just smart to, hey, let's make sure we have the infrastructure for some kind of expansion.
I use a metaphor of pruning. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book on this called Necessary Endings. Mm-hmm. And it's the metaphor of how a gardener prunes a rose bush. And where the idea came from was in studying leaders, one of the biggest hindrances to their getting to being able to have the whole team organization focus is the stuff that's already around that's really not stuff that they ought to be doing anymore because that season has passed. Mm-hmm. But people are coming, people are still coming to this, or, you know, we got stuff. And they prune a rose bush in 3 instances. See, the bush, the first one is there's a bunch of healthy buds, but they're not the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the bush only has so many resources.
Yep.
And so the gardener finds the one that fit the vision of truly becoming a rose, and they'll cut the healthy ones away because they're good, but they're not the best thing to be focused on.
Yeah.
And when missions and churches find, you know, we're doing all this, but really what we're called to do mm-hmm. is this, or these few things.
Yeah.
And they begin to let go of some stuff. Might have been good 20 years ago, 15 years ago, but now, or might have been best then, but now it's just there and it's fine, but it needs to go away if you're going to get to the future. The second context is there's some buds that are sick and they're not going to get well.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's people that are resisting the change or, you know, some strategies that just aren't going to work, it's hard for people to wave the white flag and say, you know what, we're shutting this thing down. We're stewards over this money and time and resources and people and lives. Yeah. You got to shut it down. Sometimes in church world, it's hard to fire people.
Yeah, that doesn't happen, I'm sure.
So that's an important one. The third one is there's some stuff that's dead and it's just taking up space.
Yeah.
And to have the fortitude, pastors are my friends, right? So I love you guys and church leaders. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. I have seen it over and over and over again that a church is really, really struggling in some way. There's something, and it's that second category. There's somebody that they're just either not performing or they're divisive or something, and they're not going to change. Mm. And you've done everything you've tried, or they're not fit for the position, or whatever it is. Usually it's something toxic or divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so afraid to pull the trigger because usually the most difficult people in a congregation are also very political. And what they've done is they've got their own power base.
Yeah.
And so you know that when you push against them, you're pushing against a lot of people, and some of them might even be on the board or, you know, and what happens? Well, a lot of times what the leader fears is, if I really do this, I'm going to lose, you know, a bunch of people and this, that, and the other. And I've seen them put that off, and the necessary ending mm-hmm. in order to go forward is, you got to pull that tooth.
Yeah.
And yes, you're going to lose some stuff. And yes, it's going to be really hard. When you pull a tooth, it bleeds for a while, mm-hmm. right? But what they'll tell you is a year later, this is a different place.
Yeah.
Because the problem was not anything else. It was that person and that little click or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it's in Titus where Paul says, reject a divisive person after a second warning.
Mm.
And there are some things, and division and all of that kind of stuff. I remember Bill Hybels and I were doing a church leaders retreat one time, and somebody asked a question about that. And he said, you know, I have a conversation that kind of goes like this. He says, you know, I sit down and I say, you know, have you felt like I've really heard all of your objections to the strategy or whatever we're trying to do? Is there any part I don't understand? And they start to name and say, well, we talked about that. Now, I really do get it, but if I don't get something, I want to know now. And they go, make sure they're heard.
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, now we've done that, but we're going this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the way we're going. And then he says this. I love this phrase. I can't have my foot on the accelerator while you got yours on the brake.
So good. Yes.
So you got 30 days. And I want you to go think about it and pray about it. And if you want to go this way and you want to get with us, then I want you to be there. But if not, it's time for you to go somewhere.
That's so good. It's clarity. And then you put them in a situation where they can make the decision.
You've
empowered them.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, I've got a chapter called No More Mr. Bad Guy, mm-hmm. The Power of Self-Selection. And what a leader does is they talk about the chairs, right? And they say to somebody, look, if they're leading the youth ministry or the small group ministry or finance or whatever it is, look, here's what we need from that chair.
Yeah.
Okay? We need these things from that chair. I just talked to a leader yesterday who had to let go this is in the financial world, but same sort of thing, very sophisticated, very talented guy. And he had to let him go because the guy loved a certain strategy and loved drilling down in this certain, and it's the same thing applies in the church world,
mm-hmm.
drilling down into a certain kind of market and this and the other. But that's not what he needed from that position.
That's right.
And he kept trying to pull him on board and he couldn't. He said, this is what we need from that chair.
Yep.
Now, I want that to be you. But whoever sits in this chair, this is what we're going to need from them. So here's the criteria. We're going to take some time. I'll help you any way possible, and then we'll reevaluate. But whoever is sitting in that chair is going to be doing these things.
I love that.
And then they get to choose.
Yeah. It's just less personal that way. It's more about a functionality and a competency within the organization. Right. I love that. It's not. Now, all this creates a little bit of dynamics when you're talking about all this organizational behavior. So I've talked to many pastors.
I tell you what, you talk to any pastor or any CEO or any leader, and I ask them this question. Think of your worst season in ministry or your best, and I guarantee you there's a person on the other end of both.
Yes. And and on the positive side.
No, the positive side too.
Yeah. So any situation.
Hey, man, it takes a village, but never do it alone. But when you do it well and it goes well, it's because you surround yourself with people that are for you and they're competent. Remember the three C's: competency, character, and chemistry. And when you get those three C's going, hey, you can do it.
You and I both have ran into a lot of pastors who seem to be going through ministry in pain. It's like painful ministry. Everything's painful.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Some are really enjoying it. It's a burden to some.
I gotta tell you this story.
Yeah.
Don't forget the rest of your question.
Got it?
Hold on, I gotta tell you a story. Okay, so I'm in Fiji, right?
Recently.
Yeah. I'm in Fiji, and we wanted to go, and there's like 300 islands or something, right? And a lot of the islands are very, very small populations, and they have to, it's pretty tough living, right? And so they'll have an old generator that produces power for like an hour a day and all this kind of stuff. So we got permission from one of the chiefs to go. We really wanted to go tour the island, okay? This island had 43 people who lived on it. That's the population of the island.
Wow.
We meet the chief. The chief takes us to their water supply and their power and the community thing and all this kind of stuff. Then we keep walking. There's a building over here. This little, small building. I said, "What's that?" And he said, "That's our church." He said, "Well, it's one of our churches." I said, "What do you mean one of your?" He said, "We have two churches." I said, "You got 43 people. Why do you have two churches?" He said, "Well, we used to just have this one, but then they split up and started another one over there." And he pointed to another building. I said, "You had a church split with 43 people?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why? You ready for this? The music." They split over the music, 43 people on the island, and they got to build another.
There you have it, pastors. There you have it.
So there you go. Some are having fun and some aren't.
I was wondering why you look so tan. Yes. Those of you that are listening on audio, Dr. Henry Cloud is looking very tan nowadays. So not only are we in San Diego.
Well, I've been to a lot of churches in the last week, right? I went to
yes. Two of them.
EGS. Two of them.
Oh, wow. We're down here suffering in San Diego.
Right. And you were asking a question.
I was just saying, some are, leadership seems to be a burden. And the other half seems to be really enjoying it.
Right.
And is it, they're going through the same stuff probably, right? Is it just the way they're going through it? Or maybe some of them not even their giftings, perhaps?
It can be all of that. But I tell you, it's like a body. And that's what God tells us, right? Now, one of the things that happens is your body is designed to function healthily in a certain way. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest reasons is that you are not the source of anything. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. God created the earth. God is the source of life. He's the source of the resources. He's the source of all of it. The rest of us must, and here's the key, the rest of us must get life from outside of ourselves. Okay, that's why you eat, that's why you breathe, that's why you drink water. But your performance also runs on the power of relationship. Mm-hmm. And we know this from the brain, we know it from the immune system, we know it from the talents, we know it from thinking patterns, everything. And so what happens is, a lot of times, especially church leaders, they get cut off in a way. Now, I'm not talking about physically isolated, but what I'm talking about is they get to a place where they feel like it's all on them and there's nobody they can really talk to. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody that's building into them. You know, your heart has two pipes going out, but two pipes coming in. Mm-hmm. and those arteries are clogged.
Yeah.
Bill and I used to do this pastor's retreat up on Lake Michigan. We'd take about 25 pastors mm-hmm. for an evening and all day of coaching. And we did probably 6 or 8 of them a year for a number of years, enough to where I could gather some data.
Yeah.
And so I would hand them a questionnaire, and where I was looking for a lot of different areas. And one set of questions I asked them, do you have somebody in your life that you can be 100% transparent with, where there's no ramifications to your ministry or your life, but they're there to help you and you can be 100% transparent? Mm-hmm. About 80% of the pastors said, I don't have anybody like that.
Wow.
Second question was, do you have anybody that is 100% their role is to develop you and help you get better?
Wow.
About 80% said, no, I don't have anything like that. I remember one church that the board of elders had a subcommittee, mm-hmm. a committee that the mission statement was the care, well-being, and development of the senior pastor, and they reported to the board of elders. That was their mission statement. Mm. And most good companies have that and everything. So what happens is the ones that are going through it, and they all go through the same stuff, right? Yeah. But the ones that are going through it, they have an immune system. And when bad stuff is happening in the church, that immune system of this body is intact because they got these people with them that are fighting the infections. And it's not all on them. And they have people with them that are fighting the problems, and it's not all on them.
Yeah.
But a lot of pastors truly get cut off. Even if you have to drive, you know, to find wisdom and support and transparency and somebody on your side, absolutely take that time and do it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Henry Cloud, I appreciate you pouring into us in San Diego. And
hey, man, we're suffering for Jesus down here in San Diego.
Whenever we're not in Fiji. But thank you so much.
Okay, man. It's good to be with y'all. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Henry Cloud with our very own Chris Brown. Dude, when you have a conversation like that, because I get to have those kind of conversations as well, and I'm just curious, what are your first initial thoughts after you say the goodbyes? You know what I mean? Because there's a point where you say, thanks, Doc, and then you move on to your thing, and he moves on to his. Just guide a guy here who gets to do these type of things. What are your initial thoughts after a heavy conversation like that?
Well, the first thing is the personal application. Like I said, it's going to make you squirm. It's going to challenge you. It's going to kick you in the face. And it did that to me when I was in the middle of the interview. Soon it was over, said the goodbye. I'm like, oh, shoot. I got to thinking about the first thing he said. And it wasn't even part of an answer. It just kind of oozed out like on accident. I don't know if you guys caught this, but it said, start with vision. You lead with vision, whether it's your family. Well, that was big for me. But with engage talent. I think that's what we do a lot of. We do that well. Start with vision, engage talent, and here's where we mess up. Well, yeah, I'd say even the next one, execute the plan. We do that well. But here's where a lot of us kind of miss it, and this is where I felt challenged, where you apply the proper amount of accountability. Oh, like we missed that. We missed that. And then the fifth one was fix what's found. And the follow-up process and the going back, and I guess you expect what you inspect. Mm-hmm. And so many of us are running so fast, we forget to do that. So the challenging for me started there.
Oh, it really is such a great point, because it's almost like when we get to the execution part, as you were pointing out, that we just kind of mentally let down, right? Okay, I've just executed and there's so much more. There's so much more to sustain that success. I absolutely love that. What else did you take away? I know you take away so much. What are some other things that stuck out of that conversation, even hearing it a second time?
Yeah, I mean, when he brought up that many folks are not even in a position to be led because they're not really hearing what they need to hear. I got to thinking about, you know, he talked about the multitasking and all that stuff, but I got to thinking about church announcements, for instance. We're frustrated that people are not engaging in everything that we're announcing from the platform, but we're announcing 17 different things oftentimes.
Oh, boy.
And he says they could only concentrate on maybe a few things. And I got to thinking about, one of the things we do well here at Ramsey Solutions is we have rally cries. Right. And I don't know if you and your church have rally cries or if they're actually formalized, but here, like for 2015, the rally cries were every dollar launching that great app for budgeting. And there was Chris Brown's True Stewardship, the Christian radio show. And then there was our kind of our database, our what we call our CRM. And that was our three major rally cries, 500 people all going the same direction. And if it didn't have to do with those three things, it became a secondary priority. And so that's really key.
It really is key. And honestly, I'm not the pastor here, but back to the announcements. Two things on the announcements. You're absolutely right. We don't need 17. That's why there's a website. Send us an email. I don't know if I want Sunday morning consumed with a bunch of announcements. Here's the thing, though, practically speaking. It's a tough thing to go to announcements right after worship. Have you noticed that? This is a big practical problem for churches. I've just had amazing worship. I'm now ready. My field has been prepared. Now I want the word. And then we've got to go into 17 announcements to make sure we get our kids to the youth camp on time. It really is a practical thing. It's an execution thing, mm-hmm. not a spiritual thing,
yeah.
not a theological thing. Why is that? Why do we do that?
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of elements that have to happen on a weekend.
And yeah,
whether you have 55 minutes or you have 75 minutes, it's tough to all the elements. But you know, even if your announcements are after the music, I think you got to be really careful about that transition. Being too fast, we got to really, because we're probably backstage and we're not as engaged in the worship as those that are in the seats.
Yeah.
And they're like flat out opening up their heart. And when we just in the spirit of a quick transition, which we do as event planners and church leaders, we're so concerned about that quick transition that's actually too quick and their hearts can't take the turn. You wanted to get them to this place spiritually, and then you kind of like shut off the hose.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about the next potluck dinner.
And again, folks, we're having a little bit of fun with a great truth here from Dr. Cloud. And that is, it's hard to lead folks when they're not ready to be led.
And one of the things he hit on was obviously his book is incredible. If you haven't read Necessary Endings, it is absolutely phenomenal. And that's kind of one of the parts that I knew that we were all going to squirm listening to, is because you're either listening to this and you're a ministry leader who possibly might need pruned. You're not producing, or you maybe have hit a lid on your capacity, or you're a leader out there who's maybe leading four or five staff or four or five volunteers, and you need to do some pruning, and hopefully some names came to your mind during that. And he says in here, it's hard to fire people. I think we need to understand that, Ken, it's not truly firing. It's putting them, it's allowing them to go succeed where they should be. Mm-hmm. You're allowing them a chance to go down an opportunity that they're not happy. Who's happy not performing?
Right.
Nobody's happy not performing. So you're going to help them go to a place or go to a different seat on the bus where they can perform. So I think we just need to not think of it as firing sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a great word. Final thought on the actual conversation, as you look at this and you're thinking, okay, this is what I want the audience to take away. Is there one other thought here or some summary here on what we should be taking away?
Well, I think it was very wise of him to say that the worst seasons that we've ever had in ministry and the best seasons we've ever had in ministry had a person behind it. If you think, it's so true, right? I don't know if you were listening to that, you started thinking through all your seasons, but that is so true. And so if you think through your worst seasons, you wish you probably would have made a move faster. And so maybe you're going through a worse season now. Maybe you're going through a tough time as a leader. And maybe you need to make a hard decision. If this podcast kind of challenges you that way to make that move, man, I feel very good that God's used us in a powerful way. This whole Leadership Momentum podcast, the heartbeat of it is to help. It's not a condemning thing at all. It's to point some stuff out. If it applies, it applies. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And we just pray that this entire podcast, all the energy that goes into it, is an encouragement.
Well, and we would love for you to help us spread the word. The way you can do that is we'd love for you to subscribe on iTunes and then write a review. That's how we get the word out. And if this has been a blessing to you, and we've heard so many great things from you, and we appreciate your ears, please help us by subscribing and sharing. Also, I want to make sure that you're connecting with what Chris is doing. While this is a Leadership Momentum podcast geared towards church leaders, it really is hand-in-hand a part of what Chris is doing every day with Chris Brown's True Stewardship, a Christian radio show, 20 markets across the country, and the podcast of the actual radio show is out of control. We are barreling towards 1 million downloads, my friend. It's a new world. You got a radio show, and then the podcast is going bananas.
Yeah, we didn't really, we weren't even thinking about the podcast. It's kind of an afterthought. And actually, we just hit 1.2 million.
1.2. See, I'm getting bad notes here. This is my fault. I brought in old production notes.
Who's counting? Bob, that happens.
I apologize. I should open up my emails. I've got an old email here. Thank you for correcting me.
And who's counting? You know, who's counting, Ken?
You are. As well, you should be. There's nothing wrong with counting, even in the church world. When I grew up, when we walked into the church every Sunday, we knew how many people were there last week, baptisms, how much they gave. That's old school small church. They were always counting the numbers, baby.
There's a ton of energy that's going into this, all of our podcasts, all of our resources,
really
a lot
fantastic.
Of behind the scenes, and we want to make sure that everyone knows the impact that they're having.
Hey, follow this guy so you know what he's up to. He really is the front line for everything we're doing in our stewardship team here at Ramsey Solutions. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Brown on Air. That's the same as Facebook as well. Chris Brown on Air, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, he's there. And then, of course, stewardshipcentral.org. That is the mothership of all we're doing to help you pastors lead well and lead your flock. stewardshipcentral.org. All right, Chris, before we sign off, tease our next podcast. This was a fun one. Who's coming up next?
Yep, next up we have the one and only Max Licato. We're going to be talking about I Can't Tell You.
All right. That's it. I'm now on the edge of my seat. I have never been so frustrated on a podcast in all my life, but I'll tell you what, I'll wait just like you fine people, and we will listen to the Max Licato conversation. Hey, folks, we really do enjoy talking with you. Hope this is a blessing to you. On behalf of Bob Borquez, Chris Brown, and our entire stewardship team, we'll talk with you again very soon.